Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have Babe Laufenberg in studio at 11:40. So we're moving gridiron right now. So let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go!
And if you can, Alec, will you give me cut number two? Because let's talk about the Vikings just not doing too well against the Rams.
Stafford, cool as can be, takes the snap, looking left, comes off that read, sidearm throw, to the 9, to the 5, to the end zone! Touchdown, David Allen! Touchdown, LA!
Now, the question was asked after the fact, and I appreciate Sam Darnold's answer very much. He's like, hey, are you worried about how these last two games, because he was terrible against the Lions too, how this will affect your future? And he said, I'm not worried about that right now, which is, I think it's a great answer because you just lost. You were four wins away from being the champions of the NFL. And so that's got to be really, really tough. And I don't want him to answer that question, but Corey, if you want to share what you texted last night about Sam Darnold.
He turned back into the pumpkin. Is that what I said last
yes.
night? And I did tweet out. I was like, somebody needs to find that slipper he lost because he turned back into it last night. Granted, 9 sacks, not helpful whenever your offensive line can't block them.
Absolutely.
And give credit to the Rams pass rush because they are very good. And Shula was just like, hey, we're just going to keep coming after you. So credit to them. But Sam Darnold, he looked lost out on the field last night.
In a way, I know that this doesn't sound right. It was great that the Vikings lost the way they did. If you're going to lose, you lose so bad to the Lions and then so bad to the Rams, it makes it easy to go, J.J. McCarthy's our starting quarterback in 2025. Yeah. You know, you can now, you don't have to franchise tag Sam Darnold. You don't have to talk about a 3-year contract with Sam, unless Sam wants to sign a 3-year, $21 million contract.
Like, which feels unlikely, but right.
I got you. I mean, hey, you want to be our backup? We're going to sign you to and maybe I'm low on that backup number. Maybe a good backup is now $10 million a year. I don't know. But I think now it makes it very easy. As great as 14-3 was, as great as, you know, tied for second best record in the NFC was, when you lose the last two games the way that the Vikings did, it makes it very easy to turn over the keys to the rookie quarterback.
And what happens to Sam Darnold's market then? I know he's focused on, hey, we lost.
It lowered. But not by a ton.
Okay.
But I'll say this. If he would have won the Detroit game and gotten the bye and then got to the NFC championship game, I do think he's looking at, as crazy as it sounds, because I'm going to give you a very low number on the other side, I think he is looking at a $40 to $45 million a year contract on a 3 to 5 year deal.
Wow.
And I think because he didn't make it to the NFC championship game, now I think you're looking at, because I think $60 million is now the going rate for a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Dak set the market, and I mean, unfortunately for other general managers, they're going to be like, my guy's better than Dak, and they can't argue it.
Yeah.
is that now I think he's probably looking at like a 2-year, $40 million deal where he's a bridge to somebody who doesn't get a quarterback in the draft. And they're just like, what are we going to do? And like, dude, Sam Darnold went 14-3. Let's sign him to a 2-year deal. Give him pretty good money. He's our quarterback for 2 years, and hopefully we find a quarterback in that time.
Now, I want to go to something totally different here, and I thought we might use it somewhere else, but this right now is the main story on Pro Football Focus. Like, it's the spotlight story on Pro Football Talk. It all stems around a question that Mike Bacsik asked Jerry Jones like 2 months ago. I think it was in November. Let's go to cut number 7. Can Jason Witten be an NFL coach? This was Jerry Jones and what he said.
Yes. Come without hesitation. Yes. He has something you can't draw up. Reminds me a lot of our other tight end who's head coach up there at Detroit right now. And he's his own words when he talked his parting ways with the team. Boys, it's in the dirt. It's down in the dirt. That's where it is. But Jason is very sophisticated when it comes to understanding football and all the nuances. But more important than anything, he really does understand the physical and the mentality of being physical, that part of it. So without a question, he can become above high school. He can become a coach. He has extraordinary work ethic. And he is absolutely calls on his teammates or would call on his players as a coach. So, yeah, he can be a top coach.
I think that's proof right there, too, if you are filling in as a host one day. You got opportunities for a big story to hit and land right in your lap, because we were out that day, I believe, and Mike was
working. I was in that day.
I just saw a video of him and Reggie discussing something similar to that as well.
So I thought that was a great question to ask, and I just wanted to point out, now that there's more and more stuff building about that, that you foresaw this possibility months ago when I was like, I don't know about all that. But the way he goes, yes, without hesitation, and then gave the real part of his answer, it's really interesting.
I mean, I don't know if Jason Witten wants to be the Cowboys head coach today. Sure. Or, you know, starting whatever, whenever the Cowboys make the decision in the next, let's say, month or so. But I do think that Jerry's going to give him a call. And I do think Jason Witten has to make a decision. Am I ready to possibly leave coaching a very, I think he's back-to-back state champ, I think, as a head coach. And I'm ready to leave high school to pursue NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know his goals and dreams and what he wants to do in coaching, but what he's doing in high school, he's accomplishing it. And I do think what Dan Campbell is doing is helping out Jason Witten's case.
I do wonder, Mike, if you could do it, you probably would coach your kids better than any of the coaches they've had in high school.
Right, because I've known about them, you know, for such a long time. I know what can work with them more and what doesn't work with them. It wouldn't be such a trial and error.
But it would also be, you could coach the rest of that team probably better than most of the other coaches because you know the game well. Like, you played at that level. And I do wonder if Jason Witten was looking like around. He was like, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do now? And he's like, well, my kids are going to be in high school. I know football better than most of these coaches. I'll coach this. Like, it's got to be fun for him to be able to do that, but also be able to coach and be part of that game, because it kind of, most players, and I think you feel the same way, when they are done with the game, they still want to be connected to it somehow. We get out to spring training, Mike, you can see the smile on his face just being around the field. So I feel like that's probably another thing for Witten, is just being around the game is fun for him.
Obviously, we talked about how overall NFL regular season numbers were down by 2.1% in terms of viewing. However, looks like the playoffs are going to have started pretty well for the NFL. Eagles-Packers drew 35.9 million viewers. That's the most watched game of the wild card round for Fox since 2017, with a Packers-Giants game that drew 39 million. So off to a good start for them.
Was the Cowboys Packers last year 43.4 million?
That might not have been in the Fox broadcast, right. But yes.
That's a huge number.
Look, the Cowboys in the wild card round draw what divisional round games usually draw. And like, I have no doubt that Cowboys divisional round game probably drew about what a conference, or maybe a little less than a conference.
And just think, that was with Mike McCarthy as the head coach. What's it going to do with Deion?
Look, and that's why I say to everybody who's like, the NFL is rigged against the Cowboys. Look, I desperately want there to be a simple answer. There is nobody in the world that wants the Cowboys to win more than big NFL, because it would mean the highest rated NFC championship game in our lifetime, the highest rated Super Bowl ever, because they move the needle for better or worse. So the league is not rigged against the Cowboys. We're just not very good at this.
It's break glass in case of emergency, though. If they need the ratings, yes, they will guarantee that the Cowboys do it.
Lord, I hope their ratings fall off a cliff then, and they're like, hey, we got to figure this out.
We got to do it, guys.
All right. What do you think about hearing that Bo Nix played with a transverse fracture in his back?
I had this in Mike Ask All the Football Questions, and my question is, do you think it's easier to play with these injuries than we think? Or do you think that these guys are in a way like superhuman, and I can't believe this, that most NFL players couldn't play through this?
See, so I think it is the second one, because I just think back, and I know this is, again, going back to the high school level, there was a wrestler at Allen named...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Oliver Pierce, he was also their quarterback for a while. He had won multiple state championships, and I think he finished third in the state championship, and he was really disappointed. And then his coach was like, he did it with a broken ankle. And I was like, what? How do you win a wrestling match with a broken ankle? And I asked him about it. He goes, no, it wasn't broken. Coach exaggerated. It was fractured. And I was like,
that's broken.
I was like, but still, that sounds horrifyingly difficult. And he was just like, whatever. So I do kind of think there are certain people that just have that like level of toughness that is off the page.
A transverse process fracture is a break in the bony projection on either side of the vertebrae in the spine. The symptoms include severe pain, especially at the fracture site, difficulty moving, bending, or twisting, swelling, and bruising. I will say, because these athletes are the premier athletes of the world, their bodies have muscles that keep things a little bit tighter, you're still going to have the inflammation from the break. You're still going to have that, can you get through the pain? And those doctors will make you feel a lot better about it when they're like, no,
sure,
you can do this. It's just whether or not you can physically make it through. And that's the challenge to the person, right?
Did you hear what he said about about that injury? He goes, I mean, it was annoying, but we all play with something.
And that's true. Everybody on that team probably has a nick or a scratch somewhere.
His last name's Nick.
Yeah, something that's irritating them, and he's the quarterback and the leader, and he's like, I can't let those guys down.
All right, Mike, I think I'm going to take something that you want to talk about and roll it into a football story.
All right.
Do you know Zane Gonzalez?
No.
He's the kicker for the Commanders.
Oh, he got it in.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Barely.
Exactly. So people really caught what he was doing with his hair. So before he went out there, he was like taking off his helmet, fixing his hair, put his helmet back on, take his helmet back off, and then fix his hair. And I guess I had never heard this story before, but back in 2017, he told ESPN about his OCD. And that's obsessive compulsive disorder for people that are curious. So I'm going to tie this into
OCP would be Oak Cliff Pediatrics.
There you go.
That's my wife's
very
practice.
Very different. Yeah. Although we like Oak Cliff Pediatrics very much. So you saw me do something earlier that I figure is inevitably going to come up on the show. And it was chewing on a piece of napkin.
I was totally confused. Okay. I had no clue what you were chewing on.
So we get new listeners all of the time. And I've talked about it, and this is why I like talking with people all the time. I have depression as well as OCD. And so one of the things that used to be really bad for me is I used to have to touch everything four times. Mm. Like
Michael Keaton did that in Scrubs, right?
Yes. It is very real. I don't know why four, but it had to be four.
And if you don't, your family's going to die.
Exactly. There are still times when my wife will watch me fidget with the alarm clock and I'll press it four times and she'll just be like, did you need to do that? And I was like, yeah, kind of. And so like I was eating some soup and I didn't bring a toothbrush with me. I know you can get like disposable toothbrush and everything like that. And so I was kind of using the napkin to like wipe off part of my teeth just in case. But then it comes to another point where if I wipe off one part of my teeth and I don't wipe off the rest, it's like, it's just going to gnaw at me for the next segment in the commercial break. I'm like, your teeth are unbalanced. I'm
with you in this. There's plenty of times you can see me, like if you're watching the show, that I'm sticking like this in my teeth to get out like whatever the crap that's in my teeth. And I sometimes will even have floss to do it. So it does drive me insane to have something in between my teeth.
And even if there's nothing there, I just need it to be balanced. Like if you've ever lived in a house that was like part carpet and part tile, that's like the house I grew up in. And
what if part wood too?
That, oh my God, parts. That would really drive me crazy, because if I ever walked into our house and it had like tile in the front part and then the rest of the house was carpet,
right.
If I ever step
it's
my,
normal.
If I ever step my, our house is different than that now. That's what I think. If I ever step like my foot part on the carpet, part on the tile, I had to go back and touch my other foot like that, or else it would just.
Did you just start jumping so you could get both feet?
I would look and intentionally try to not step on it. Because if I did, I would walk down the hall and be like, I need to go back. And then I would walk back and have to do it all over again. So I just wanted to point out, like, people have all kinds of things out there. And if for anybody, it is OCD. When people were talking about Zane Gonzalez, when I saw that, I was like, I know what that is. I absolutely
know what that is. If you wouldn't have done that, it would have hit the wrong side of the pole.
Exactly. And that's what you think. And you know it's not logical.
A quarter of an inch this way.
Exactly. You know it's not logical, but that's just how it has to be.
Do you guys, I really, when he was lining up for that kick, I just felt like it's just going to be such a Washington thing. It looks like they're turning around everything and they're going to be like a good franchise. They got rid of Daniel Snyder. It looks like they got the quarterback for the next decade. And then I thought right before he lined up, I was like, this is going to be the most Washington thing to win the game for the last 2 minutes. You feel like it's over and this dude misses it. And then they're still the Washington Commandos.
And he almost did. That's the way I felt in the Arizona State game against Texas. I was like, Texas is clearly the better team. Are they going to lose this game because of field goal kicking? And then people will be like, ha ha, is Texas back? I'd be like, they're still in the playoff. That's pretty darn good. But I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, the power of AI and athletes getting music deals next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Babe Laufenberg coming up with us in studio in about 20 minutes. And then about an hour, Trey Wingo will join the program. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alex, that was awful.
One for Alex, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. We will get to the question of the day here in just a second. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. I want to know, because tomorrow is National Hat Day, what is your favorite hat in your collection? 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube. Want to hear from you as well. Get those answers in. Start thinking about it as I set something up for you. Here in just a minute, we will get to the power of AI and music deals inside the world of pro sports. We'll get to that here in just a second. But first, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, has tweeted out, Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer talked to him this morning and said, quote, all options are open on his future. After Dallas and Mike McCarthy parted ways yesterday, Zimmer and other assistants whose contracts expired are now allowed to interview elsewhere. Quote, I really enjoy coaching, Zimmer said. And end tweet.
They love him.
So,
they how every time we brought up Zimmer's name at the end of the season, when the defense started playing better, it was just like, good, this guy right here. Oh my gosh. They
and
love
Micah
him.
Likes him too.
And Micah, yes, because he cracked Micah open a little more with the, hey, this is what you're good at, but how can you be better? I'm going to ask you to do some things you might not be comfortable with, but it might make you better because of it. So it makes complete sense that could be a candidate in that conversation. They should definitely sit down and ask him too.
All right.
And they work well with him, and he's worked here for a long time.
May I ask a question in your segment,
sir? Absolutely.
I give you Mike Zimmer, Kellen Moore, and Deion Sanders, or every other human being on the face of planet Earth. Which one do you pick for who will be the next Cowboys head coach?
Revisit that one more time.
Mike Zimmer, okay. Kellen Moore, and Deion, or every human who exists on planet Earth. Which one do you want?
I'll lean towards every human on planet Earth. I've now have 8 billion people to choose from.
That's true.
If I have the number of people right on this Earth besides
I
three.
I think that's correct.
Now, I do get it. I get that I think Kellen Moore is, I think, the leading candidate. I get Deion is a high profile.
Sure.
That's
a good way to put it.
I think that the fans, nothing against Mike Zimmer here. I think there will be a who gives a crap if they hire Mike Zimmer as the head coach.
Do you think that will be the same thing with Kellen Moore?
I think there'll be optimism that he will change the offense into the way that he always wants. I think there'll be optimism. I'm not saying there'll be huge optimism, but there'll be optimism. I don't think there'll be optimism on Zimmer, who is, I don't know, 65 years old,
right,
and was a coach in Minnesota who was decent. He was solid, you know, but I just think people would be like, dude, we're going with Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, it would feel like more of the same because it's something that it was the same for you. I mean, like, it doesn't feel like fresh blood. It doesn't feel like fresh ideas. It doesn't feel like it's anything that advances other than it kind of gets you back to some tough old school football. But, you know, look at his record up in Minnesota and look at how they did up there for a long time. They were good. They never won it. They lost in the division, lost in the conference, lost in the wild card. That's about it with the playoffs for Minnesota while he was there. Tough division.
Yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers in the way and everything. I get it, but they did lose up there. But their defenses have always been pretty good. And this defense was good here later on.
Alec, are you taking those three people or every other person on planet Earth?
I think I'm taking every other person because
I'll take those three.
I think
that's where I am too.
I have a weird feeling Jason Witten is going to be the head coach of this team.
My goodness.
I really do. I know Nick Harris was on the morning show this morning and said he's going to be on the staff in some capacity is his belief, and I totally believe that too. But I feel like they're going to go through this thing, and it's going to be more of a who wows Jerry the most with their presentation rather than the X's and O's, which I'm not saying that Jason Witten isn't smart when it comes to the game of football. I absolutely think he is, but I think it's going to be who can give the best presentation and sell me on the future. I think that's going to be Jason Witten.
Would you give that presentation with fake hair or not fake hair?
Ooh.
He's a baldy now.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd do the fake hair. You know, go full Joe Buck. You know, why not?
Is he a visor guy or a hat guy?
Witten?
Yeah.
I think he's a hat guy. Okay. Yeah.
Because right. You don't go visor when you're bald.
You don't?
It doesn't help. You're going to get sunburned.
Yeah.
You've never had like sunburn on your head. It's horrible.
It sucks. Yeah.
One time when I shaved my head, everything but this like oi right here on the front, I shaved it into a spike.
Is that what that's called?
That's what my buddy said. So I had this spike, like I would put gel in it and I had this spike and it looked ridiculous for like one weekend at a lake. Then I got home and I was like, I got to go back to work. I have to be serious. And I shaved it off. And then I had this white dot in the middle of my head because I had gotten a sunburn and a tan around
Amazing.
It.
Amazing.
So that was a bad decision. So I wore that a hat sounds a lot. Like a great decision. Wore a hat, no visor.
That is amazing. I'm terrified whenever the day comes. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon whenever I cut my hair. And you're going to see the tan line that has developed from my hair being long for about 3 years now. That day is terrifying me, but it's not going to be anytime soon. So
Okay. The
question of the day is, what is your favorite hat that is in your collection for tomorrow's National Hat Day? And I'll start things off. I got a new one. I've talked about this on the show before. Every summer during the offseason, the Mavericks do like a huge like clearance sale at their store. And I found my new favorite hat during that big sale. And it's like the 90s throwback green logo on like an off-white cream.
Oh, cool.
Like kind of hat base. And then the brim is the navy blue. So I really love that hat. It's universal. It works with pretty much anything because of that cream white base. So I can wear it with pretty much anything and get away with it. And it just looks really nice with the throwback logo. I love like all the 90s Mavericks stuff. So whenever I can find a deal on that stuff, I'm like, absolutely. That's my favorite in the rotation right now.
I have an extensive hat collection. And I imagine, Mike, you probably do too. I don't know how much you hold on to
them. I have too many hats. Yeah. I've kind of gone like, I don't need any more hats the rest of my life.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, should I start getting rid of some? I love my Hurtado hats. I will say that. They're fantastic. But as a kid, my dad played softball on a team called the Angels. And that was my first ever fitted baseball hat was the one that I stole from him. And it was the old school Angels logo with the halo on it. And I really liked it. Then in high school, you remember everybody did the white college hat that had the name of the college? I got an Alaska Nanook's hat. And I actually at one point
those have come back, by the way.
I've seen that.
Recently, a lot of kind of your early 90s, I forget the name of game.
Yeah,
like
something
game
like that.
Day, or you know that G little logo on the side. Like those are all coming back.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool at the time, but it was Alaska Nanooks, and I just thought it was weird and off the wall. I also got an Oregon State Beavers hat just because it was hilarious. But then that hat, I ended up taping the buttons, the snaps together because like it just fell apart. I wore it so much, but right now it is my dadgum hat. My kids got it for me for Father's Day, and it just kind of, it's the one that I'm like, I'm going to go to that one and pop it on the head all the time.
Hmm. So back in 93, 94, there was nobody who could tell me that I wasn't the coolest person in the world when I was wearing that brand new Florida Marlins hat, because I just thought that was the most awesome thing ever.
Man.
And so at the time it was that. Right now it's my gold emblemed Texas Rangers World Championship hat, just because I like the hat, but also you see the people that see your hat and they're like, oh yeah, I like your hat, and then you bond over that.
I like the hat I'm wearing right now. I don't know if it's
that
my
is a
favorite,
sweet hat.
I do like the Rangers batting practice hat last year. I don't know if they're changing it this year. We should see here pretty soon the new spring training hat every team's gonna have. And then I'm going to assume this. It's just because of making money. They did create the perfect batting practice hat for the Rangers,
yes,
the one I'm wearing right now.
I love that hat.
And you don't have to change it the rest of Rangers history. This should be it. You don't have to do anything else the rest of your life with that. But they are going to change it for money-making purposes.
I need to get that hat before it's gone because I love that hat. And I just wasn't prepared to get. They ran out that day. That's right.
Yeah.
They ran out of them. I need to get one of those, though.
Let's see, your favorite hat, 877-881-1053. I like this from the 214. Any Bass Pro Shop hat. Those are like so simple, so clean. They're trendy too.
One time my buddy left a leather like Indiana Jones hat at the house.
Awesome.
And I wore that for about 2 months until he saw me wearing it and was like, hey, I'd like my hat back. And I was like, that's fine. You can have it back. You just left it here. Feeling like Indiana Jones for 2 months is pretty awesome. I have never gone with that style before or after, but it was pretty cool for about 2 months.
There's so many hats that I don't think I could pull off. Cowboy hat.
You wear bucket hats? You ever been a bucket hat guy?
My wife thinks I look stupid in them, and I probably do.
Hold on. I just want to know, is this a scenario where she's like, yeah, Mike, that might not be my favorite, and you've decided that means she thinks you look like an idiot in those hats?
You can, I can tell by her body language. Okay. She does, she's not as direct as I can be.
Like, okay.
I can be in sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like if we moved... You can then pull anything off. Nobody knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
This feels whole, very whole high school, identity. Middle school, right
whole
here.
New identity.
When people, yeah, when people change their look completely, like all of a sudden they go to wearing Wranglers and and pearl button-down shirts and a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, like, who are you?
Or the vest life. If, remember, I wanted to be a vest life.
Yes. If I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and I was just dressing like a cowboy all the time, people would be like, yeah, man, that guy dresses like a cowboy. He's done it his whole life, I assume.
And Corey, you know? I'm going to forward this to your son because I saw he dropped another album. So this might be actually useful here. If you have a one-hit wonder like LiAngelo Ball, you've probably heard it all over social media. Shams Charania tweeted yesterday that he has now signed a record deal with Def Jam and Universal Music Group. Worth up to $13 million,
oh my gosh,
with $8 million wow, guaranteed. But I will forward this by saying it's not like an NBA contract, not at all. Music deals in the record label industry are very, very weird. This is a licensing agreement, so it's an $8 million advance on future royalties. It's not a signing bonus. And he's probably not even getting all of that right now. The labels can kind of defer some of that money. So he's probably only getting a few million right now up front with the chance to make $13 million.
So it's like he signed with the Dodgers.
Yes. Yes, the Los Angeles deferrals, you know, gave him a record deal. And they are able to defer those payments, but also it's a max of $13 million. So if he were to exceed $13 million, where do you think that money goes? The record label's pocket.
Yeah.
So that's the weird world of music, but... Yeah, he tried the basketball thing, didn't work, made a kind of fun rap song. I'm not saying it's good, it's just fun. And there you have it, $13 million richer.
Excellent edition of AM on the FM. Coming up next, I've already seen him. He is in the building. Former Dallas Cowboys quarterback and Cowboys broadcaster Babe Laufenberg joins us in studio next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. Right now, we bring in... football knower extraordinaire, former Cowboys quarterback, Cowboys broadcaster. It is Babe Laufenberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So I threw out the same hypothetical to you that I did everybody else, but we added Jason Witten to the first group.
Uh-huh.
So the first group is Kellen Moore, Mike Zimmer, Jason Witten, and Deion Sanders, or every other human being on the face of planet Earth. Where do you think the Cowboys' next head coach comes from?
Should we point out, too, that Babe did walk in with a Colorado Buffaloes coat on?
I did.
So he need to point that out.
So he's
out.
A Deion guy.
We'll see.
Well, I need to point this out, that my son was a student assistant coach at Colorado, went to Boulder, and I stole the jacket from him. And
I got gotcha.
Like, I do
gotcha.
Like the jacket, it's but I do coat. Love when you walk around in something like that, and you guys have probably had this. Everybody, hey, go Buffs, go Buffs. Of course, you hear it a lot more now. That Deion Sanders.
Yes, very, very, very
but
much
yes,
so.
I will take the other, okay. The rest of the world.
Okay, all right. Because a lot of people, and you can have whatever opinion you want on this, but a lot of people seem like...
I appreciate that, by the way.
Yes, that was a weird thing for me to say. A lot of people seem to be like disappointed about something that hasn't even happened yet.
Sure.
And they're like, it's going to be Zimmer, it's going to be Moore, it's going to be retread, whatever you think it is.
Right.
And people are already disappointed. Is that just like part of being a fan that you're just conditioned to like, my team will let me down somehow?
Well, I think a bigger part of it is there's not that one guy out there where you said, man, my team got this guy. I think when the Rangers, Mike can talk about this more eloquently than I can, when they got Bochy, I mean, it's like, wow, this is a big time guy. This is a winner.
Would Belichick have fit that bill then?
No.
That's how I felt about Parcells.
Oh, I did too. I did too. And here's the interesting thing to me. They've run the gamut on head coaches after Jimmy left. I don't want to say I don't count Barry, but and this is not in any snarky way, but he inherited a whole staff. He brought no one. They just said, you're going to be the head coach, and here are your defensive court guys, and here are your offensive guys, and these are your players. And
sounds good.
And just go out there and show up on Sunday and coach them. And
manage the group.
Now, I will say this. Barry always said, they said, well, you won with other people's players. And he said, yeah, we could have lost. We could have lost. And it's true. He did win a Super Bowl. But to the point of running the gamut with coaches, so they went, hopefully I get this order right. Now there's too many. At one point, it was easy to be a talk show radio host, wasn't it?
Jimmy?
29 years, you said Tom Landry.
I don't know, man. I think about the days where I couldn't just type something up on my computer, and I was like, I don't know, let's go run to the library. Well, we'll get that information.
Barry.
Yeah, so you go Chan. You go Chan, bright young assistant, supposedly, right? At that time. Oh, this guy in Denver and John Elway, and he wasn't the guy. So then they said, well, let's go to that comfortability factor. People that are in the building know the building, and it was
Dave Campo.
Okay. Then you said
the Big Tuna.
We got to go big. And part of that was obviously trying to sell the stadium.
Yeah.
And that, I think it excited me. Let me say that. What was it? 20 years ago.
Yeah. So
I don't know if it excited the fan base, but it sure excited me to say, wow, they got a guy that's going to come in here. But the part of the problem of that was the owner had no fun because Parcells was a guy you needed to hear from. And so the owner had 4 years of probably the worst years of his life as an owner. So we get rid of that guy and in comes Uncle Wade.
Yep.
Then they get rid of Uncle Wade and
Jason.
Guy familiar in the building, blah, blah, blah. Bright young assistant.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I mean, he was this what I've never asked him. You know, he turned down the Baltimore job.
Mm-hmm.
Turned it down. I remember that.
He was a hot name.
Turned down the Atlanta job. Turned it down to come back for another year as a coordinator. And I always wonder, and I've never asked him. Do you regret? My guess is when you see what Baltimore's done and that organization and Ozzie Newsome and just the way that things run.
Probably.
I mean, I would sit there and go,
yeah.
Well, but it's a path not taken.
Yeah. Right?
You know, if he had had great success here, I mean, let's face it, the Baltimore Ravens are not the Dallas Cowboys in terms of visibility and what it means and putting it on your resume. So that brings us to. Well, and then, of course, Mike McCarthy. And there were some mixed, I think, I don't want to say feelings, but thoughts on McCarthy. You know, he had two of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. You can go 5, you can go 20.
I got you. Yeah.
I think everybody would acknowledge that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are.
Sure.
They may not be on the Mount Rushmore of the four guys, but if you do a Mount Rushmore and there's 10 or 15, they're on it.
Yeah.
They went to one Super Bowl. So there were people saying, now he did go to 3 NFC championship games that they lost. But, you know, there are people saying, why didn't he win more? Why didn't he win bigger there? So there's all sorts of. And this next guy, again, to me, the only guy that's going to excite me, and I think it would excite the fan base, is Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator at Detroit.
That's who I want to.
So when I don't know if he's going to be a great head coach. I don't know any of that. But that's the one guy where I'd say, okay, wow. Now, that's the guy.
In today's NFL, how much will Jerry Jones talk to Dak Prescott about this decision?
I honestly don't know. I would doubt a whole lot. I had somebody from Green Bay, very high-ranking official, tell me, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was a better quarterback than he was a GM. Okay. Yeah. So when you start letting players get involved, and I understand if you have a relationship with a guy. Hey, I played with this guy in Detroit. He's great, all about it, hard worker. So if you have a relationship, then you go to the guy. But, you know, Dak Prescott has no relationship, let's say, with Ben Johnson.
Right.
He might have met him once. I don't know. So to sit there and go to your quarterback. But hey, it's, you know, hasn't worked out for the last 29 years. So maybe you do let Dak go ahead and pick the next guy.
And I know we're going to get to the Troy Aikman stuff. We might actually see how much time you have in your schedule if you want to hang out for a minute.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, like, in the building, when that firing takes place, like, how does it affect the players and everything? Because I'm just concerned about it as a fan. Like, yeah. I care as a fan.
Are you using the wrong term, though, in this situation?
What do you mean?
Jerry didn't fire Mike McCarthy.
I'm sorry.
Mike walked.
When you change coaches.
That's a good point.
I can tell you this.
That is a great point.
It's very different from a player's perspective if a coach kind of leaves and you're hearing it as the coach left, or your owner and general manager fired your coach.
And there seems to be some difference of opinion about whether they were like, hey, I'm going to be really mean so you don't break up with me and I have to break up with you, versus Mike's like, I'm not taking it anymore. So that's a great point.
Well, in my mind, he was fired. Now, they're going to say we mutually agreed and all that good stuff. And
why do you say that?
Because he wanted to be back. So if you want to be somewhere and you're not there,
you got fired.
You got fired.
Yeah.
You can put all the semantics you want onto it. But he got fired. I understand his contract was up, so technically the contract lapsed and, you know, but
he got fired. What's that trickle down into the team? Like, whether they quit or got fired, like, what?
Very little.
Really?
Very little.
Huh.
Nobody. When they start training camp, and doing the game, who was the last game against Washington? They all run together. You know how that goes. I said to Brad Sham, I asked a question of McCarthy during the week. Are you going to kind of take this game in knowing it could be your last game? Certainly as a Cowboys coach, maybe of your NFL career. And but then I asked that question and he said, basically he's going to fight that urge. I'm paraphrasing here, but I said to Brad, there's 10 or 15 players on this field today who won't have a job next year.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be in the NFL. They don't know it. As players, I always say the phone just stops ringing, right? I managed to squeak out 8 years, and in year nine, the phone quit ringing. You keep waiting for somebody to call. They get a guy hurt, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the phone stops ringing. Very few guys are like Roger Staubach and you get to retire. I always laugh. People ask me, hey, babe, when did you retire? When did you retire? And I always say, I did not retire. They retired me.
Right.
I said, I still want to play. And they said, yeah, well, guess what? We don't want you. So,
and you kind of feel that way too, right, Mike? Yeah,
when I feel like almost every player in the history of sports, this is how it is.
Yeah.
Very few John Elways.
Right. That say, you know what? I've won my two Super Bowls in the last 2 years. I'm going to go out and going to go out on top. And but again, there are 10, 15 guys on that field won't have jobs in the NFL next year.
All right. There's a lot of great stuff here.
My point being very quickly, you're more concerned about your job.
That makes sense.
I'm more concerned about, will I have a job than who am I going to work for next year?
Could you stick around for another segment?
Whatever you tell me to do, I do.
You say jump,
I ask how high I'm in the air, baby.
I did say he's allowed to have his own opinion, and that was really stupid. So I apologize for that. All right, so coming up next, and what I really love your thoughts on this, and Mike, I know you're interested in this as well. Fox Sports says one thing. Troy Aikman believes another. Are the Cowboys a desirable head coaching destination? We'll talk about it next with Babe Laufenberg right here on 105.3 The Fan.